While I'm trying to get prepare myself, why don't we open to 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to be looking at verse 7 verse 7 through 16. I wanted to start off today with a question and just yell out some answers. What are some things that keep you up at night? It's kind of ironic because I don't watch the news and then this whole Supreme Court thing happened. And this, I already made this out before. So, but what are some things that keep you up at night? Just start yelling them out, raise your hand or something, whatever.
Kids.
I knew that would happen. What else? Anything?
Caffeine,
okay. Anyone else?
Worry,
okay.
Fear.
Okay.
Spouse.
Oh, are you a spouse? Okay. Well, none of these, I have a list. I went through Google and I got a list of 1 through 10, 1 being the most critical that we need to fix to live happily ever after or everyone will just perish. And I got the 10th one is the least. So none of you guys said this, but I'm going to go through it just for some fun. The first one is water crisis. Everyone, we're running out of water. The professionals think we're running out of water and we'll soon starve or won't have water. Spread of infectious disease. Professionals think that there's a new strand of virus that's coming out that turns everyone to zombies. Weapons of mass destruction, because no one can get along. Interstate conflict, no one can get along. Failure of climate change and adaption because, you know, whatever. And an energy price shock. We're already going through that. Critical information infrastructure breakdown. I don't even know what that is. Physical crises. We're already going through that. Underemployment and unemployment. We're already going through that. And biodiversity loss and ecosystem collapse. And I don't have no idea what that is either. But that is the list. So it's kind of funny, though, because we all know as Christians, we all know God's in control of everything. And with the whole thing about the Supreme Court, we all know God's in control. And our objective as Christians hasn't changed. We are still to do what God has called us to do. but some of those things may keep you up at night. Some things can't. But today we're going to learn about a woman that if she had anyone had a right to keep her up at night, it was this woman. So these are some things that we're going to cover. Excuse me. You can write them down now, or you can write them down when I say them because I will say them again through the sermon. The first one is, God is in control of all things, no matter how trying or painful. God is in control of all things, no matter how trying or painful. God's promises never come up short. Again, God's promises never come up short. And God's promises are all that we need. Again, God's promises are all that we need. So, let's read. I'm going to start reading here from 1 Kings 17, 7 through 6, but first let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for your almighty power, Lord, and that things may change in our world, in our society, Lord, but you still have sovereignty over it, Lord, and if you haven't allowed it, it wouldn't have happened. Lord, and I just pray for the weather today, Lord. It's a little gloomy today, but again, it's in your control, Lord, and I just thank you for Jesus and the salvation you've given us through him. Lord, that we may be able to have eternal life with you in heaven, Lord, for all who believe. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. So we're at verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. They're talking about Elijah. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. Surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as what you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me, what you have and bring, excuse me, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. So she went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. So just to give you a little bit of background story of before what happened before this text is Elijah was a prophet. He was the spoken word of God at the time, as all prophets were. And there was a king, King Ahab, and he angered God more than any other king before him. So after King Solomon, there were a ton of kings, and King Ahab was the worst. He angered God the most. And you don't have to flip there, but I'm going to read you from First Kings chapter 16:30. Ahab, son of Omri, did evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. So he was the worst of the worst. So Elijah was directed by God to go to King Ahab to predict a drought. And the drought affected many nations in the area, not just Israel. So then after that, God directs Elijah to go to Kirith Ravine, east of the Jordan, to drink from the brook. And then God also directs ravens to send Elijah food. So now I'm going to read again, verse 10. This is 1 Kings 17, verse 10 through 12. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." So as we see that this lady had no food, and just a little bit of history, the Bible says that the drought lasted for 3 years and 6 months. So that's a long time without any water. And so there maybe have been some water in like a well or something, but obviously this woman didn't have any food. And we have to remember there was no Walmart and there was no National Guard passing out food and water. There was just a widow trying to make her last meal and die. So the first point I want to make is God is in control of all things, no matter how trying or painful. When you can't even tread water and you're drowning and you just can't, you just don't think you'll make it. Just remember, we got to look at God's word and remember his promises. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to jump around a little bit, but you just listen. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Revelations 22:13, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." And finally, Psalms 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." All throughout history, we see through the beginning of the Bible in Genesis to Revelations, God has control of everything. Everything that happens is declared by God. So why is God putting us through all these situations and all these trying times? The answer is simple, is to exalt his holy name. So we need to be able to exalt God's holy name through the good and the bad. So now we're going to jump back to 1 Kings. We're going to go back to our original passage. Okay, so verse 10. So he went to Zarephath, talking about Elijah. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As he was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." So for Elijah to ask this woman that question was crazy. Because there was a drought. So it's pretty, I mean, anyone could guess that there's probably no water. So for this woman, this woman, Elijah was asking this woman to give up her last hope. The very last hope that she had physical control over, Elijah was asking her to give it up. And you got to remember, this bread wasn't like this huge long piece of bread. It was just a handful of flour. So all she had was a piece of bread about this size. And so like I said, Elijah was asking her to give up the only thing that she had, the only physical thing that she still had hope in, was just to be able to eat this last piece of bread with her and her son and to die. So it's important to see how she responds. So we're at verse 12, and she says, "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son. Then we may eat it and die." So as we see, the woman's response is she's being truthful, but she's also fearful. And it's important to see that the woman never told Elijah to get lost, take a hike, or to tell her, he told her not to look somewhere else. So the woman was honest and transparent about her fear of death. And so what we have to see is we have to look at Elijah's response in verse 13. Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have to bring. Make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son." So to put yourself in this woman's shoes, Elijah would have to be crazy for asking this woman to give up the only thing that she had to eat. The last thing. So why wouldn't Elijah just leave her in peace and just let her die? Why would God give a woman a yoke that she can't bear? Well, we have to look at Elijah's response in verse 14. "For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the land.'" So God, as we see in verse 14, God promises to supply her with food. That's a promise from God. So as I said before, this is a trend through the whole Bible. Promises through the whole Bible that we can see. And so obviously the trend happens is what God says is going, when God says something is going to happen, then it's going to happen. So we have to look at the widow's response in verse 15 because it's important. "She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah." So as we see that the promise that God had given this woman did not fall short. It did not come up, she never died. God had supplied her with food because she had enough faith to obey God. She did as was directed of her from God, and she was saved physically. So my next point is God's promises are all we need. So why did God save this widow from dying? Yes, we know he saved her because she had faith in him and his promise. But I'm going to break it down a little bit more. The first point is she was completely transparent with God. She didn't keep the fear of death to herself or use otherworldly things to cover it up. The second point, she submitted herself fully and humbly to God, knowing she couldn't save herself. She could have easily been unbelieving in God's promises. She could have half-trusted God. She could have decided to take care of the problem herself and try to find food some other way. The third point, she trusted God in his promises. And the fourth point, she physically did what God commanded her to do. If she wouldn't have went and made the food, if she would have just sat there, obviously she would have died. She had to physically do it. So as a result, what happens? So because of all these four things, what happens? What's the result? One, God lived with her and dwelled in her home through the prophet Elijah. Verse 15, if we look at verse 15, I got to go back to it. "She went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah." So as we see there, Elijah lived with the woman. Two, God had given her life through faith. Yes, physical life, but because she had faith, God had sustained her life and given her life because of the faith that she had. Physical life. God's, and then the third one is God's promises is all that she needed. So All she needed was God's promise. That's all she relied on. She didn't rely on any human try, or she didn't rely on her own physical ability. She relied on God's promises. So that brings me to my next point I want to talk about, is just as this woman had promises that God had given her, we also have a promise that God has given us. We have a promise of Jesus. Jesus is our bread of life. Isn't it ironic how the woman, this story was about bread rather than fish or, I don't know, something else at the time, but it was about bread. And I think there's a metaphor there from this story to Jesus, and Jesus being our bread of life. So John 6:35 says, "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" So just as God dwelled with the woman in physical through Elijah, God also, if we believe that promise, God also dwells in our hearts in the same way through the Holy Spirit. So the next point I want to cover is that Jesus is our new promise. Everyone knows it, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So that's our new promise, folks. That's it. Just as this woman had received the promise by God, this is our new promise that we have. And we have a decision. We have a decision that we could try to do things our own way and try to physically get salvation through a new car, new job, money, whatever it is. Or we can believe in God's promises and receive the bread of life and have eternal life with God. So in conclusion, one, God is in control of all things. No matter what you're going through, God is in control. And we need to exalt God through the process. We cannot lose faith through the process. God's promises never come up short. When God says something is going to happen, then it's going to happen. And as we see, this is a trend through the whole Bible. And the third one is God's promises are all we need. Jesus is our bread of life. We cannot receive life through any other means. And just like this woman, without bread, we are dead. So my question for everyone is, has everyone received the bread of life? Has everyone trusted in God's living promise? And are you trying to, are you trusting God through the process of these trial times? And the other thing is, are we trusting God's, are we trusting that God will come up with it and his promises never come short? So let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for today, Lord, and I just thank you for your word, and I just thank you for your power, Lord, your sovereignty over everything. All things are under your control, Lord. I just thank you for that. Lord, I just pray that as we go throughout the week, Lord, that we will know that you're in control of all things, Lord, that we will know that your promises don't come up short, Lord, and that, Lord, that we understand and know that your promises are all we need, Lord, not some physical, materialistic thing, but, Lord, just your promises. Lord, in all these things I pray, amen.